Let's give them just another 30 seconds. It's a short break, but it probably will need it.
Think that. Who Jeanette is.
Okay, we've got eight, Nelly, so we've got a quorum. Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay, this meeting will come to order. We will now have a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Ms. Durham?
Here.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Here.
Mr. Hollins? Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Woods?
Here.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 present, 1 absent.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Mr. Hollins is actually here, so that's 13 present.
Okay, I'm here now.
Thank you. Is there a motion to correct or amend the minutes of June 23rd, 2020?
Motion to approve is provided.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Are there any announcements from member of council regarding legislation? Mr. Carter.
Yes, as we discussed in several committees, I do plan to table ordinance 20075 and ordinance 20076. With that said, I will request some latitude that I be able to table them once we have heard some public comment. I am tabling them to give us time to work in some substantive changes that have occurred to our police directives to get them in sync. Those changes have never had the opportunity for any public comment. They were just directives developed by the administration and our police force and the FOP. So I will request that we have some latitude. And if we would like to, I'm happy to have that comment. Anybody wants to make it, comment on both of them together. That is fine.
And I'll just let you know that a couple contacted me and I spoke to a few. And so I told them that they'll be able to comment. So I'm sure they're holding on, even though we have a long finance meeting, right?
Just to be clear, part of my request for the latitude is that as I work through the substitute ordinance, it would be helpful to hear a little bit of public comment now rather than waiting to the night that I bring it back for a vote.
Agreed. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. Under the proper order of business, I will be moving to table myself and Co-Chairman Street will be moving to table substitute number 1 to ordinance 19-116. And that's regarding consideration by the pension board and the county for a 25-year retirement program for our emergency medical service personnel and emergency communications personnel.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or announcements from members of council? Seeing none and moving on. Introduction of ordinances. All ordinances shall be considered at the next regular council meeting, except for those items that require board or commission recommendations. Madam Clerk, please read in the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 20077, amend the grants budget, appropriate $205,375 in anticipated State of Delaware grant and aid funds to the Absalom Jones Senior Center FY 2021, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Ordinance 20078, amend the grants budget for FY 2020, appropriate $30,000 in the State of Delaware Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Services for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities to the Absalom Jones Senior Center Virtual Social Activities Program grant, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Ordinance 20079, amend the grants budget, appropriate $1,582,960 in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to a Special Emergency Solutions Grant, ESG, program designated as ESG CV2 to be administered by the Department of Community Services to respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Ordinance 20080, amend the FY 2020 approved operating budget, appropriate State of Delaware funding received for the Newcastle County Police Employees Retirement System, the Department of Public Safety Employee Benefits budgetary line item. Ordinance 20081, to declare surplus certain lands of the Newcastle County associated with the Newcastle County Airport and to authorize the transfer of lands to the State of Delaware for a public purpose. Ordinance 20082, amend the FY 2021 approved operating budget, increase the authorized position count for the Department of Community Services, Division of Community Development and Housing by 3 temporary grant positions.
Thank you. May I please have the reports from members of council, beginning with the Land Use Committee on July 7th. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes, on July 7th in Land Use, we talked about the Blackstone Cove development, Old Baltimore Pike rezoning, and some text amendment changes.
Thank you. Public Safety Committee for today, Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Madam President. We had a very long Public Safety Committee meeting this afternoon, all 13 of council in attendance. We touched base on a ordinance to amend the grants budget for the Police Duty Revolving Fund, and we had formal reports given by our Emergency Communications 911 Center Chief Jeff Miller on the response to COVID-19, 911 call volume, call processing times. We congratulated and had a report from our new Emergency Medical Services Division Chief, Chief Mark Logman, and he gave us an update on the paramedics. And then we had a thorough report by Colonel Bond from Newcastle County Police Department on the 47th Police Academy directives, ban of chokehold policy, and duty to intervene policy. Very productive meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. The Finance Committee for today, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. Under the Administrative Finance Committee, after we approved minutes, we had several resolutions for consideration for purchase order resolutions. One resolution dealing with the plan quota plan expansion. Under ordinances, we had playpen approval, two ordinances dealing with the police methods of handling suspects in behavior in the field. We had one ordinance dealing with the extending or reducing the retirement period to 25 years for the EMS paramedics and the emergency communication employees. Under other, we've got a pension plan update from Mr. David Boomershine's organization, reviewed potential cost sharing with the state for CARES Act funding, approved under grants. We approved 5 grants, had nothing on the expensive revenue roundtable, nothing on the county executive, and took comments from the public.
Thank you very much. Next is our consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agenda as such. And is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none? Is there a motion to approve this consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 20147, Truth and Reconciliation Hearings on Racism in Delaware. Delaware is Freedom's First State. Wilmington is Freedom's First City. Resolution 20148, honoring and celebrating the life and legacy of Margaret Bryce Johnson.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mr. Street?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
The consent calendar has been passed. Next is consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of any of the resolutions or ordinances, raise your hand in the queue. After the resolution or ordinance you wish to speak on is introduced and I open the floor to the public, state your name for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. We will begin with R20149, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. Like Resolution 20-149, read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 20149, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Cogsdale Corporation for the renewal of annual maintenance and software licensing fee for the Office of Technology and Administrative Services in the amount of $138,421.42.
Mr. Cartier?
Per title.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak if they're in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20149.
Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
R20149 is passed. Next, R20150, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. Like Resolution 20-150, read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 20-150, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for N. Harris Corporation for the renewal of annual maintenance of cashiering software for the Office of Technology and Administrative Services in the amount of $54,455.15.
Mr. Cartier?
Per title.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20150.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. R20150 is passed. Next, R20151, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like Resolution 20-151, read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 20151, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the State of Delaware Department of Health and Social Services for Animal Control Services as mandated by the State of Delaware for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $1,607,178.71.
Mr. Cartier?
Per title, Madam President.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public who wish to speak that are in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20151.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
R20151 is passed. Next, R20152, Mr. Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Like Resolution 20-152, read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 20152, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the State of Delaware Division of Communication for the yearly maintenance contract for volunteer fire service and first responder paging alert system for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $67,002.49.
Mr. Cartier.
Per title, Madam President.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak in the queue?
There's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20152.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
R20152 is passed. Next, R20153, Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that R20153 be read by title only and placed before Council for consideration.
Second.
Resolution 20153, plan of Blackstone Cove, Apoquinwick 100, west side of Summit Bridge Road, approximately 2,000 feet south of Noxentown Road, major land development plan that proposes to subdivide parcel 14006.00012 to create 14 single family dwelling lots, SR zoning, application number 21016-0233, Council District 6.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Yes, this is a open space subdivision in suburban reserve for 14 houses with 70% open space. As we discussed during our committee meeting, it will actually have a net reduction both in the runoff levels and in nutrients as it converts from agriculture. That was the only concern was for some downstream drainage. So unless the land use have comments, I'm quite comfortable moving ahead with it.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20153.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
R20153 is passed. Moving on to R20154. Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President. I'd like to have resolution 20-154 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 20154, in opposition to Crota Inc.'s permit application with the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control to expand production at Crota's Atlas Point facility.
Mr. Strait?
This is a matter of have versus the have nots. The haves have weighed in, and the will of council be the will of council. I said most of what I had to say about it in the finance committee meeting. I'd like to hear from the public and then take the vote.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up to the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Yes, there's several members waiting to speak. First up, Dan McDermott. Mr. McDermott, go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and make your comments.
Yes, my name is Dan McDermott. I've been at Crota for 25 years. I'm the union president there. And I'd just like to offer that Crota has been very good to their workers there. We have 140 guys there, just on the union side. A very diverse workforce that a lot of guys in the neighborhood work there. So they've invested in the neighborhood over the years through different things. It isn't like they've totally ignored the neighborhood. They have a long time safe, excellent safety. They had one significant issue, and that I noticed that most of the things that Councilman Street brought up relate to that one incident. It appears as though it's a long running safety issues, but really it's not. Most of all that relates to the one day. So I would just like to say that they've invested a lot in the community. A lot of the community works there, and they take care of us. So
thank you. Ms. Finnegan, is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Ms. Finnegan?
Can you hear me?
Kara is muted, but she's unmuted. Dustin.
Okay. Sorry. Mr. Thompson?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to, during the formal council meeting, go on the record again. I said what I said at the finance committee meeting, but I'd like to say I would be interested to hear how many people from within the community that was impacted by that gas leak are actually employed there, because I work with a lot of environmental justice organizations and civic organizations around that Crota plant, and they would argue that this is not a short-term issue. This is not a one-time issue, that they've been dealing with air pollution in their region for a long time, and this is a historical racist issue, and that this needs to be addressed. And that I just want to say again, what they're putting out at that plant, I don't care what the end product is for consumers, what they're putting out in that plant in the air is poison, and it has registered known effects on the human body that can last a lifetime and that can become intergenerational, because it can be these neurological issues can be passed from mother to child. And so I just want to go on record again and support this resolution and thank Councilman Street and others for putting this forward, and also to point out and ask that you work with DENREC so they can actually hold a real public hearing with public comments like this. I really appreciate being able to comment even during the pandemic. And DENREC is holding this meeting next Thursday. And they have, or sorry, next Tuesday, I'm sorry, a public hearing next Tuesday evening, and they are not allowing anybody from the public to speak on this before this permit is decided unless they have internet access and can email and write out their comments. And that is just unjust and really presumptuous. So I thank you again and support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Finnegan, is there another member of the public that wishes to speak?
Yeah, next up is Mike Matthews. Mr. Matthews, I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and unmute yourself and make your comments.
Hi, how are you? My name is Mike Matthews, and I did not know about this before. You know, I've been so ignorant of council politics and issues the last few years. I'm on for another issue, but I heard this and I just felt I needed to comment, and I am in support of this resolution because I feel that county and our state for too long have totally neglected the impacts of environmental racism. Mr. Street said it perfectly a little earlier. This is about the haves and the have-nots. Let's just put it out there. Environmental racism is something that has been pervasive in our state for decades and centuries. The people who live in the areas of industry where this waste is being dumped into waterways and leaching into the ground that has impacts decades after it's been left there, these are the people paying the ultimate price. These are the people paying the price of years down the road, getting asthma, getting respiratory illnesses, heart disease. There are so many impacts of environmental racism. And what I'm looking for is, I totally get it. We need jobs. We need a strong economy. But where is the balance? We are that strong economy. Let's look, folks. The strong economy of the last 20, 30, 40 years has been built on the backs of the poor and people of color. The poor and people of color. That strong economy, the stock market ain't benefiting the folks down at Southbridge. It's not. So you all, as duly elected officials on this council, yeah, I get it. You want jobs. But you need to protect the lives of your constituents first, period. And we know what the impacts of these chemicals are when they leach into the ground and into the water. And you are derelict in your duties if you don't put those concerns first, before the monetary concerns. So come on, folks. Come on. Think of the people first. Lives matter the most, not money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Ms. Finnegan, is there another member of the public that wishes to speak?
Yes, Larry Lambert would like to speak. He's gonna join you as a panelist. Mr. Lambert, go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Good evening again, everyone. This is Larry Lambert. I wanna thank Councilman Street for your day of service. And for bringing forward this resolution, I want to agree with Mr. Matthews and Dustin Thompson in regards to their sentiments. The gentleman from Crota who mentioned about jobs in the economy, dead men don't cash paychecks. In regards to this Crota situation, you know, when that leak happened in November of 2018, my nephews attend school at the Newcastle Charter School that's right within the footprint of Crota. According to MapQuest, it's 0.7 miles away. And when that carcinogen, thousands of gallons of ethylene oxide dumped into the air, right in the footprint of an elementary school, the reason that they said they didn't check the air monitors that are directly between the school and Crota is because they said that the wind took it out to the river. There was no evidence of that. And these are the same people that are claiming that they're safe and that they're practicing environmental responsibility. Again, I want to thank council members that support this resolution. This isn't a hard one. We appreciate you supporting the people over profits. These are life and death issues. These are deadly serious issues. And we want to thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. Ms. Finnegan, is there any other member of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, Dora Williams. Ms. Williams, I've just unmuted you. Go ahead and unmute your microphone, state your name, and make your comments, please.
My name is Dora Williams, and I spoke at the last meeting, but I just wanted to read something, a comment that I had prepared for the Crota meeting that we only have the opportunity to put things in writing in that meeting. And I too would like to thank our Councilman Street for all that he does. He was very active in having the landfill problem. He's been very active in our community, and he is greatly appreciated. And all the council members are greatly appreciated. Councilman David Carter and President Hartley Nagel, we thank you. We thank everyone. And I'd just like for you to hear my comment. I'm going to make it very short. You already know my name. And I said, I am opposed to any increase in emissions, anything that is going to add to our flood zone, stockpile of landfills, ethylene oxide chemical plants, an amount of something that is not quite identifiable, but used by paving and contracting conglomerates. All cannabis contaminants serving under the auspices of economic growth. This is where we live, enjoy one another, raise our children, and leave a legacy. In reference to the contaminant mentioned in the permit, www.epa.gov fact sheet, contaminant 1,4-dioxane, is likely human carcinogen and has been found in groundwater and sites throughout the United States. Short-term exposure may cause eye, nose, throat irritation. Long-term exposure may cause kidney and liver damage. In 2017, the news journal featured a report, 7 Newcastle communities at greater risk for cancer, respiratory illness than affluent white areas as Greenville. 3 of these communities are along the Route 9 area. Dunleaf, Oakmont, and Southbridge were mentioned. The report identified 10 chemicals affecting the communities, formaldehyde emitted from trucks, cars, incinerators, because we have the bridge right there, and also respiratory hazards. Hazards are the acrolein, acetylcholine, the formaldehyde, and diesel particulate matter, and chlorine. In September 2018, Delaware Public Media Sophia Smith reports on a survey of Eden Park Gardens in Hamilton Park about environmental conditions and the relocation, which I think it was Councilwoman Kilpatrick talked about, we'll just buy it all up and move us out. So anyway, it says they are nestled between companies like King Compressed Gas, Bruce Industrial, and Diamond Materials, a paving and contractor whose huge uncovered mounds of materials tower over Route 9, and it brings a dust even on a calm day. You should see it when the trucks go by. It causes a wind of dust, and you just want to not let go that way because you're going to get whatever. At a recent November 2018, our community was compromised by a release in which CRODA was involved in, and in November 2019, CRODA was cleared to reopen. And now, less than a year later of the reopening, they asked for a permit to expand with that dioxin. It said in February 2020, the waste management landfill was 130 feet and was asking for a 60-foot expansion. However, the community who knew the history of the landfill, that it was built on top of an aquifer, warned that that expansion would compromise the aquifer contaminating water supply. So with that confirmation and with professionals and our legislators, which I've already mentioned some, they were able to call a halt to that. So it says, I am asking that the same thing with CRODA, that they will call a halt. What they already have, okay, but anymore. It says, recently I was gently reminded that all these businesses with their ill effects that dwell among us aren't going anywhere. So with that in mind, I am asking those same legislators in Denver to hear the community's concerns and refuse any permit that adds to what is already there anymore is unjust. So that sums it up for me.
And thank you, Ms. Williams. Thank you, Ms. Finnegan. Are there any other members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Madam President, there's no further public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20154.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Carter?
You're muted.
You're muted.
Unmute.
You're muted.
Unmute.
Hunter, yes.
Mr. Cardian?
Present.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
I would have liked to have a little more time and go out and speak with the residents like I did with the landfill, you know, and have some more facts. I did do quite a bit of research yesterday. So I'm going to say yes, and also I'm asking to be a co-sponsor, Mr. Street. Mr.
That's
Street?
Fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
No.
Mr. Woods?
No.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 8 yes, 4 no, 1 present.
Thank you. R20154 is passed. Moving on to ordinances, 020072. I move that 020072 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20072, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for classified service employees and the pay plan and rates for classified service 40-hour work week employees represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, AFSCME, AFL-CIO, affiliate local 1607.
Thank you for title. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Madam President, Mr. Barnett has his hand up. I'm not sure if he wants to comment on this.
Okay.
Mr. Barnett.
Step forward. Mr. Barnett, you would need to unmute. There we go.
Yes. Yeah, so the resolution's passed already. I just wanted to let you know that I sent folks a letter today. Should be in their inbox with a little more detailed statement on our position on this resolution. Disappointed to see that it passed. I understand people's concern, but I don't think that the success of a business and the economic benefit that it brings are mutually exclusive to good environmental responsibility. I don't think those things have to be diametrically opposed, and I think my company can demonstrate that. We are committed to safety in the community and our plant. And we're committed to reduce our emissions over time, not to grow them. And I'm going to show that to people on Thursday. I do think we have a responsibility to treat the people around us with respect and that we give them, you know, a safe living environment and a good living environment. That's not mutually exclusive to bringing good jobs and being a benefit economically to Delaware and to Newcastle. They're not exclusive to each other. So I'm disappointed that people think that that's the case. I hope we can demonstrate otherwise to you all and make believers of you. I hope we regain your trust and show you that. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barnett. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Next, Ms. Finnegan, I will close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020072.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
020072 is passed. Next, 020073, Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am. As per title. First, I'll read it in. Move that ordinance 20-073 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20073, amend the grants budget, appropriate $375,000 to the Contracted Police Duty Revolving Fund, which is administered by the Department of Public Safety.
Mr. Bell?
As per title, Madam President.
Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak that are in the queue?
Madam President, there's no public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 020073.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Not voting.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, one not voting.
Thank you, 020073 is passed. Next, 020075, Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I'd like to first make a motion.
President.
I'd like to first make a motion that we suspend the rules to allow us to consider 20075 and 20076 together for the purposes of public comments and ultimately after public comment for the purposes of tabling them.
So moved, Madam President.
All in favor?
Aye.
Was there a second? Yes. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is passed.
Okay, and I'll make a motion to have 020075 and 020076 read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 20075, amending Newcastle County Code Chapter 20, Law Enforcement, to ban the use of knee holds, chokeholds, and similar procedures as a method of restraint or use of force procedure. Ordinance 20076, amending Newcastle County Code Chapter 20, Law Enforcement, regarding Newcastle County police officers and the duty to intervene and report in relation to unauthorized or excessive use of force.
Thank you. As we discussed, I do want to take public comment on these. I will be tabling them and then coming back with substitute, largely because the substantive content we have worked out with the colonel to have put into police directives. And I would like to be as consistent with those as we can, since we've worked out most of those differences, one or two more will work out. So with that, council's welcome to comment, but I'd like to give the public an opportunity to comment. And after public comment, I get an opportunity to hear that and I plan to table them.
But Mr. Carter, are you saying you would like, you would prefer to wait till after all the comments before we table? Or can we do it now?
Otherwise, I cut off the comments.
I'm not going to cut off the comments, just so you know. Okay, but we could do it. We could do it that way.
I appreciate you following the rules, Councilman.
Thank you. Okay, does anyone from council have questions or comments? Let's see, is that Mr. Street?
Yes, briefly. And I appreciate the three co-sponsors. And I appreciate the effort that Councilman Carter is making to work this out with the chief. But when it gets to the point where it ends up having the same language that the governor's executive order has and the same language that the legislation that passed has, the problem here, and you know, folks have chosen to take it personal, but this issue is bigger than everybody who's had anything to say today. The problem is Title 11, 464, 467, and the Policeman's Bill of Rights. And I'm just looking at a young man from Wilmington online now getting beat up almost by Wildwood police officers the same way Roger Brown got beat up. So, you know, I can't support a change that I just don't believe in. So when the substitute comes in, I don't want to be a co-sponsor, but I appreciate the sincere effort that Councilman Carter's made to work something out with the police chief. But from my end, it defeats the purpose because, and I've said in other capacities what the problem is. But the challenge for us is continue down this road of with the exemplary police force, and it's going to blow up right in our face.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other members of council that wish to comment? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Yes, first up is Mike Matthews. Mr. Matthews, I've just opened your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Hi, this is Mike Matthews. Thank you again, council, for hearing me. This is the issue why I logged on tonight. You know, our amazing yet flawed country has had a pretty spectacular last few months, what with this pandemic and the movement finally to see racial and social justice in this country extended to our communities of color who have been systematically violated, degraded, and murdered over the last 400 years simply for the color of their skin. What we are seeing right now is a movement that is not anti-law enforcement. Let me repeat this. It is not anti-law enforcement. It is pro-law enforcement accountability. I am a teacher. You will never see a teachers' union pushing back as violently as the police unions have if a teacher causes harm to a student. I support labor. I support police unions. They play an amazing role in making sure that their workers do have rights. They get paid a fair living wage with excellent benefits. We need unions. But we are at a moment in our history where those unions have waited too long to join the table in good faith, negotiate in good faith to demand the changes that can bring these marginalized communities the equal treatment that they deserve under the law. The facts are real. Disproportionality of people of color when it comes to police brutality, the disproportionality is there. This council, I will be upset if these ordinances are watered down, but this council has got to take this seriously. If I witness something happening to a student in a classroom, I have a duty to intervene and report it. That is my job. If an officer witnesses something happening to an alleged criminal that could lead to that alleged criminal's death, he or she has a duty to intervene, not just morally, but legally. And that's what this body can do. And I hope that this won't be watered down to the point where it becomes completely ineffective. Liberty and justice for all. Make those words have some meaning, Newcastle County Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. And Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes. Dustin Thompson. Mr. Thompson, go ahead and unmute your microphone and state your name.
Yeah, am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Great, thanks. This is Dustin Thompson. I got to say, I have to agree and am very concerned if this does go down the road of being watered down to the point where there's really not teeth to this ordinance. That's going to be deeply, deeply upsetting to a lot of people who have been fighting for racial justice issues in this state and around the country, but particularly in Delaware. I know, you know, hundreds of people that have been fighting and marching and doing their civic duty to push for these changes and a lot more changes than even what we're seeing. And we can't afford to take an inch backwards and a way to appease law enforcement. We got to push the envelope. That's how progress is made. That's how change is made. We got to push the envelope and keep going further and further in the right direction, in the direction of equity and justice and inclusion. And I'm very supportive of the idea that we're going to ban these practices in law. Whether or not it's in policy does not really matter to me, because we need to, if the policy is already there, and we know, we've seen it on camera in Delaware that this practice has been used. It's been on camera, and it will surely be on camera again if we don't take the steps we need to take now. if it's already policy and it's not being followed, then clearly we need to take another step forward and put into law, and it shouldn't be an issue if it's a policy. If it's a policy and it's an issue, then you're acknowledging the fact that the policy doesn't work. Because if it's a policy already, then it shouldn't be an issue to be put into law and be made sure that police are being held accountable. But 100% agree with what Jay said. This goes so much further than what we're talking about right now. The fact that the Attorney General has openly admitted that it is nearly impossible to prosecute a law enforcement officer in Delaware is unbelievable. That's the issue that we need to be fighting for and to making sure that we're changed, because everybody should be held accountable. There should be one standard of law in this country, and if you break it, you pay the price for doing so. That is what law enforcement has been about for their entire existence, and to think that they can get away and get around that when that is exactly what they are preaching is unreal. And so I have to agree with Mike and with Jay, and that I hope this does not turn around and bite us in the face. And it won't be me that it bites in the face. I recognize my white privilege. It's not going to be me that it bites in the face. It's going to be the people out there that need our help, need your help the most, that's going to be impacted by this. So I hope we do the right thing going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public in the queue that wish to speak?
Yeah, Larry Lambert wants to speak. Mr. Lambert, go ahead and unmute your microphone and state your name. Make your comments.
Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now.
All right. Thank you, Council President. Thank you, Councilman Carter, for bringing forward this resolution. I agree with everyone that spoke before me, and I also share the concern of Councilman Street. We honor our law enforcement officers. The vast majority, the overwhelming majority of them, are great people. I broke bread with a Newcastle County officer this week. I was the best man in a wedding for a Newcastle County officer. At the same time, the only time, you know, I had a loaded gun pointed at me, it wasn't from somebody trying to rob me. I was helping out a friend whose car broke down on Governor Prince, and they had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I came out to help somebody out. And the next thing I know, you know, I'm being yelled at. I'm being told to step in front of the car, and I didn't know what was going on. But at the end of the day, in regards to this ordinance, I support it. I'm concerned that it could get watered down. That's not acceptable. We don't advocate for paper legislation. We advocate for a meaningful change. In regards to ordinance resolution 2076, I did want to mention that, you know, it really does protect officers when it provides the duty to intervene. If you see a colleague using excessive force, you know, that really helps officers out. This case with George Floyd in Minneapolis, one of the officers was there for 4 days. He's already talking about how uncomfortable he felt stepping forward. So, you know, in the name of our law enforcement officers, in support of them, you know, I think that we should get behind Resolution 2076. And at the end of the day, you know, like I said, thank you everyone for your support. And we look forward to this resolution still having some teeth once it gets brought forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, there's one further public comment. Adriana, I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Hi, good evening. My name is Adriana Lila Bohm. I'm an educator. I'm a member of the Red Clay School Board, and I'm also on the board of the ACLU. However, tonight I am here as a professor and as a mother of two teenagers who I'm raising in Wilmington. I support the two ordinances that were supposed to come before you tonight that have currently been tabled, and that was to ban the chokeholds and knee holds and to establish a quote-unquote duty to intervene policy for police officers. As Mr. Street was quoted in the paper early today, I also believe in the spirit and intent of the ordinances. From my perspective, these two ordinances are a first step in protecting people, especially our youth, such as Roger Brown. Please vote in favor of both of the ordinances. Like I said earlier, they're a first step in the right direction. Thank you for hearing my comments tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Baum. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, Dora Williams, Ms. Williams, I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead, state your name and make your comments.
My name is Dora Williams and I live in Lucille Gardens off of Route 9. I'd just like to make a comment, actually. About a week or so ago, I was talking to my neighbor. She and her husband have two boys. And she said to me, Ms. Dora, I said, yeah. She said, she was on this call, on this Zoom meeting. She said to me, I would like to know what I'm supposed to do, my husband and I. How are we supposed to raise two young black males in this society? And I didn't have an answer for her. Actually, believe it or not, I didn't even have a comment for her. I didn't know what to say, because what could I say? I think that these two ordinances are a step towards helping her do that. I'm going to make sure that she knows about this. But I would just like to put that question to you as well as she put it to me. I think a lot of people need to answer that question. How is she supposed to do that when there's they can't jog, they can't. It's just ridiculous that the things that are catastrophic for them, but also, I guess, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling. That's all I have to say. And thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to thank those, especially our council ministry who has been endless, and I see that President Hartley Nagel is co-sponsoring with him on the initiative, and I'd like to thank all of you for your endless effort towards having justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak that are in the queue?
Madam President, there's no further public comment.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Yes, I heard Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam President. I realize that the two ordinances are being tabled tonight. I recognize the frustration of Councilman Street as well, who is one of the co-sponsors up until tonight. And I certainly have no illusion about what's going to happen with these two ordinances 2 weeks from now. In my opinion, it's highly unlikely that they would get adopted by the Newcastle County Council. As I mentioned earlier, I've been on County Council now for 30 years. When I came to County Council, I was the second black person to ever serve. And from the time I was elected to the first black person who served, it was 25 years with nobody black on the county council. And Councilman Street often asks me, how did you do it this long? And the reason I said to Councilman Street, I had done it this long and continue to do it, is because we still have so much farther to go. And I'm in it, and obviously I'm in it for the long haul. But I'm also very realistic, and it's unfortunate that too many of the county council members has changed the narrative of what this is all about. It's about systemic racism. is about brutality, historical brutality in brown and black communities that has not changed. And even though there are some of my colleagues who wants to make this about the police and how great they are, it's really not the conversation. The conversation is about police protecting everyone equally. The conversation is about senseless murders. The conversation is really about officers when they do the right thing. In the instance in Seattle, California, and Seattle, Washington, I'm sorry, where an officer intervened to stop another officer from killing a civilian. That officer was fired. The FOP upheld her firing. And she was a black female police officer in Seattle. Now, in the last several weeks, the city is reconsidering to bring her back. She had a year left before she actually was going to retire. She lost all of her benefits for intervening. You have these situations going on. Folk would tell you it's just a few rotten apples. It seems to me that if it's a few rotten apples, why can't we get rid of the few rotten apples? The reason why you can't get rid of the few rotten apples is because the FOP, who's trying to influence legislative bodies across this country, some of them are listening, as I think this council will, and I'm glad a lot of them are not. The fact of the matter is, right here in the state of Delaware, when Officer Snyder in the city of Dover kicked Lateef in the head, when Lateef was going to the ground, when I spoke then to the captain of the Newcastle County Police Department, who was the president of the state FOP, in my office, he said that was part of the training. You're telling me that the part of the training is to kick someone in the head when they with the hands in the air going to their knees. That is problematic, not to everybody. It's definitely problematic to people of color. And I know what to expect 2 weeks from now. Is primarily silence. So I'm not someplace thinking, oh my God, this is probably gonna happen. Quite frankly, silence is that people really don't care. They're okay with the status quo. The status quo has worked for a long time for a lot of people. It also has not worked for a very long time for a lot of people. So to suggest that trying to protect people in this county, in this state equally, is an indictment on the police department is completely by design. It has nothing to do with how I feel about the police department. It's how I feel about the majority of my communities of color in this state and in this county are being treated, and how if we had a FOP that was really concerned about serving all of the people, they would be part of this conversation to make certain that all of the people felt as comfortable as the majority of the people do. That minority of the people look like me. And that hasn't changed. In the 30 years that I've been here, there has been some peaks of maybe a council that a little bit more progressive. And I'm going to stick with this legislation, even though I share the concerns that Councilman Street have. It is a beginning. One of the differences here is that there are two co-sponsors on this legislation that are not people of color. To me, that shows some degree of advancement in this county after 30 years, but quite frankly, we're not going to be the majority. It would really blow my mind if we got a majority of my colleagues to support legislation that, quite frankly, it's not going to move the needle anywhere near what needs to happen to give equal protection to all of the citizens of the state of Delaware. And quite frankly, it's going to be a long time coming. I don't have another 30 years, but I'm sensitive enough to know that it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Are there, and Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I just wanted to urge everyone that is concerned about what the substitute will look like to look at the new Directive 1, Appendix 1A, of the Newcastle County Police that was issued on June 23rd. The language that we will be working from for both the duty to intervene and chokeholds is in there. It is written. Okay. I think Councilman Hollins captures the essence and concern. You know, you may or may not know, when I was doing environmental justice work in Southbridge, I shared an office with the staff that were staffing the First Hope Commission. And I saw firsthand the racial inequities that were occurring with some of that. And I feel we have a chance to begin to do something about it here. You know, the colonel has worked. It shouldn't be lost on anyone that the colonel is African-American. I think he shares them. He is under a lot of pressure. He moved the needle a long way to get to where we are with the directives. I see no reason why we shouldn't codify. And I know you will hear from the colonel, well, we can change the directives. Why should we do it? What is the difference? That's one of the questions the colonel has had. And I have told him the difference is to step back again, to reverse this progress we've made. It will require you not only to change the directive, but to come back to council. That's what this will change. It will provide a little bit of a safety net for a little nudge in a positive direction. So hopefully we'll move forward with it. With that, if there aren't any more comments, I'm going to make a motion. Okay, I would like to make a motion to table 20-.
One moment, just let me double check. Ms. Finnegan, is there any members of the public that have put their hand up in the last moment or two?
No, there's no further public comment.
Okay, then I'll close the floor to the public. Okay, Mr. Carter, please
okay. proceed. I'd like to make a motion to table ordinance 20075 and ordinance 20076.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. 020075, 020076 are tabled. Now we move on to 019009. And I'll remind everybody, this is a poll vote. Mr. Woods?
Yes, I'd like 019009 placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 19009, revised zoning map, White Clay Creek 100, east side of North Old Baltimore Pike, directly across from Browns Lane, 0 North Old Baltimore Pike, tax parcel number 09030.00110, 12.97 acres from NC21 Neighborhood Conservation to ST Suburban Transition.
Mr. Woods?
Yeah, so I know the developer, Pam Scott, is here to speak for the developer, and we also have Anthony Sikowski from the Newcastle County Land Use. So I'll let Pam do a presentation.
Pam. Ms. Scott? She's unmuted, it looks like now. There we go.
I am here, and I did have a PowerPoint presentation. I don't know if that's available or not.
Ms. Hill?
There we go. I realize that it is late in the hour, so I'm going to try and go through this fairly quickly. If I could see the second slide, please. This, the one right before that. Thank you. This shows the site in question. It's just shy of 14 acres in size, located on the east side of Old Baltimore Pike. Between Main Street in Christiana and Road A that leads into Christiana Mall and the Christiana Fashion Center. The property is currently zoned NC21, we are asking that it be rezoned to ST. If I could have the next slide, please. This is the prior approved plan for this project. This project was actually presented to council in 2009. For rezoning and for the development of 27 townhouses. The project was approved in 2013. And unfortunately, when we had a downturn in the economy, the project did not get developed before the plan sunsetted. So the plan sunsetted in 2018. and the applicant needed to start the process over again. Next slide, please. This is an overlay of the current exploratory plan overlaying on top of an aerial photo of the property. As you can see, a large portion of the property is not being developed. It is consists of protected resources between forested areas, wetlands, floodplain, and riparian buffer area. We are proposing 24 townhouse lots, which is three fewer than what the previous plan had proposed. In this event, we're proposing slightly larger lots to appeal to the market for townhouses in the area. And we will obviously comply with the current stormwater regulations. As with the prior plan, we had requested subdivision variances with respect to this project for the cul-de-sac, and those were approved by council back in March. We also are proposing that the private lane known as Patterson Lane that adjoins the westerly side of our property would actually tie into Eagle Hunt Lane and have a proper access on Old Baltimore Pike through our project. Next slide, please. This is the current subdivision plan, exploratory plan that has been submitted to the Department of Land Use that essentially proposes the 24 townhouse lots. So next slide, please. This is a zoning map for the area that shows our site. Immediately to the north of us is also property that's zoned ST, and also immediately to the north and on the opposite side of Old Baltimore Pike is ST zoned land that has been developed for apartment units. In connection with this particular application, there are standards for rezoning that need to be met, one being the consistency with the comprehensive development plan. The comp plan for this particular area proposes medium density residential development. That would be 3 to 9 dwelling units per acre. Our project is actually proposing just slightly less than 2 DUs per acre. Also, as a standard, is consistency with the character of the neighborhood. In this particular instance, the area in question has a variety of housing types, residential units from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. There are also townhouses in the area, condominiums in the area, with significant more density than our project. And as I indicated before, there is the apartment complex in, to the north and on the opposite side of Old Baltimore Pike. Consistency with the zoning and use of nearby property. As I said previously, the property is consistent with the zoning in the area, especially with respect to the density of the area. The suitability of the property for the uses for which it has been proposed. The property is located along a roadway that serves as a connector to major thoroughfares in the area, providing convenient access to dining, entertainment, employment, and recreation. It's also located on a transit route, and as part of our entrance, we are proposing a bus pull-off area so that there is a safe way to embark and disembark from transit and school buses. And there is more than sufficient infrastructure in the area to accommodate the proposed development. There will be no negative impact on adjoining properties. The proposed development is fairly small in size, will generate very little traffic, and will be compatible with the surrounding area. We're also proposing a fairly significant setback from Old Baltimore Pike. Approximately 290 feet would be the closest townhouse, and there will be a very significant landscape buffer along the front of our property. And then finally, with respect to the recommendation of the Department of Land Use, they are recommending in favor of this project conditional approval. The conditional approval is based on the following conditions: that the dwelling units will be generally consistent with the conceptual plan that we provided at the planning board, which we will show in a few minutes, that the buffer yard and opacity levels along Old Baltimore Pike will be as we have proposed, and that each unit will provide a tapered driveway in general conformance with parking requirements of Article 25. All of those conditions we are more than willing to meet. If I could see the next slide, please. Actually, you can jump through this slide and probably the next slide as well. This, if you could go back one, I apologize. This does show sort of some of the housing in the area of the proposed development. We have, if you look at the upper left-hand corner, you could actually see on the western side, on the northern side, sorry, of us is the Christina Community Center. This first photo shows that, as well as the single family house located adjacent to it. And the middle slide shows more continuation along that area with additional housing. On the south side of us is a cemetery. North side. I'm really bad at direction. I do apologize. We are also showing in the bottom left-hand corner a view into Edgebrook, which is just up the street and across Baltimore Pike from us, which has single-family homes. There's also the apartment complex to the north of us, which I've indicated before, as well as a couple historic structures in the bottom right-hand corner. Next slide, please. We can keep going. And next slide. And as I indicated, this is the recommendation from the Land Use Department, which we can more than adequately meet. Next slide. This is just a layout showing our site in location to how the state strategies map lays out investment areas. A significant portion of our site is located in investment level one, which is an area where development is proposed to occur. And obviously the portion of our site that we propose to develop is in that investment level area one. Thank you, next slide. As I indicated before, the entrance that's proposed for this property along Old Baltimore Pike, which is shown on the right-hand side, also includes a bus pull-off area to provide a safe place for both transit and school buses to pull off of Old Baltimore Pike. And we are also providing a tie-in to our Eagle Hunt Lane to the Patterson Lane to provide safe access for the community center and the other two lots that take access from Patterson Lane. Next slide, please. As I indicated at the Land Use Committee meeting, we did have several meetings with the community to try and address their concerns about traffic and also met with representatives of the Christiana Community Center to talk to them about how we could work with them on their community center project. Next slide, please. This is a rendering that shows the view of our project from the Christiana Community Center, how it would access would tie into Eagle Hunt Lane, along with the landscaping that we are providing as part of this project. Next slide, please. This is a view of the project from Old Baltimore Pike that shows, as I indicated, the closest townhouse unit and also the additional landscaping buffer that we will be providing along Old Baltimore Pike. And then the next slide. And these are rendering of the townhouses that we propose to place on the property. That concludes my presentation. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions.
As any questions from members of council? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments?
So, Karen, I just want to make a few comments. So, you know, this project, obviously this thing has been going on for years before I got on council, when the original plan had started and when the developers reached out to us on this project. We did set up the meeting for the community. And in that meeting, there was a lot of concerns. And I know that the developer asked for a lot of those concerns from residents, and most of them didn't come back. Most of them were complaints on Old Baltimore Pike with the traffic, and with the developer putting in the bus lane a little longer than what I anticipated they were going to do, which I thought was a good part of this plan. But the residents down there do not support this project. They'd like to see smaller, less footprint from 24 down to about 16 homes. But this is where the developer came out at this point with the Department of Land Use approving. So with that, I just wanted to kind of get that little at least background that, you know, that's where we were.
Okay. Are there any other member comments from members of council? Mr. Street. And then Mr. Hollins.
Let the pro tem go first.
Mr. Hollins?
Thank you very much, Councilman. I noticed at the meeting of the Land Use Department, Councilman Cartier asked a question about moderate price dwelling units. And I think all council members realize that with the COVID pandemic, it really exposed the need for affordable housing in New Castle County. And we also recognize that one of the first pools, if not the first pool of money that we allocated from to assist with the COVID crisis before we got any federal dollars came from the Housing Trust Fund. And when Councilman Cartier asked the question at the last meeting, and the response was, well, we're building 24 homes, so we really are not part of the moderate price dwelling unit program. The fact of the matter is that the answer was correct. But if you were to build 25 homes, then you would be covered by the moderate price dwelling unit program, which is housing inclusiveness that we work very hard toward in New Castle County. And as I mentioned before by one of my colleagues, how workforce housing was basically demonized by some members of the General Assembly and some people in the public. So we actually pulled the workforce housing legislation to come back with a piece of legislation that would fit the needs of families in New Castle County for inclusion and would be more acceptable to the public and to the communities where these homes would be built. So now here we are recognizing the need for more housing. We have a plan before us tonight, a rezoning before us tonight. And when I talked to the applicant's representative, when I talked to Pam just yesterday, she said that, well, there was a market for these units and the decision was based on the market. And I would offer that I would agree that there's a market for these units, but there's also a market for inclusionary zoning. So I'm left to wonder if this was actually deliberate to go with 24 rather than 25. I'm even surprised that the Department of Land Use didn't even suggest or recommend to go to the 25, knowing that what our goal has been in New Castle County is inclusion in housing in particular, and the fact that there is a housing trust fund that goes way beyond any one particular development. And that's just been proven to us just recently with this COVID-19. So here we are with a plan that says, okay, we'll stop at 24. That meets our strategy here. Because if we go to 25, it means that we're gonna have to include some other people. If we go to 25, it means that we're gonna have to put some money into the housing trust fund. But if we stop at 24, we'll exclude certain families that we would have to include otherwise, and we don't have to give a dime to the housing trust fund. We're just, this fits our model here. And, you know, for me, as long, as hard as the work was to get to inclusionary zoning and to have it sort of skipped like this, in this case, consciously, I just cannot support it. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Please excuse me, it's dry in this room. Wasn't coughing in the beginning. Now at the end, coughing a little bit. It's just dryness in the air.
Okay.
Thank you. Next, who would, any other members of council?
Mr. Street.
Mr. Street was next, and then Mr. Cartier.
Yeah, Councilman Hollins. I guess it's proper that you reiterated our conversation, because I really don't know how you've done this for 30 years. And I've been fighting for the last 5 hours. And to me, the whole 5 hours seemed about fairness. And the instant matter being no different. Council for the developer talked about, they tried to meet with the community center. And they asked the community center, they wanted to help this. The community center made it crystal clear. We don't want it. And that's been the community center's position all along this whole process that I've seen a record of. The historic African-American cemetery is of no moment. The potential for flooding is of no moment. And I didn't see the bones, but what I was told was when they built the grocery store next to Mount Olive Cemetery on Lancaster Avenue, the bones came out, bones washed out, and they took backhoes and just threw them back in the cemetery and buried them. And there's good cause to be concerned here. And I don't know, I'm not a history buff, but I don't know if this has been to the Historic Review Board and through that process or not. I know that community center, how it got there, how it was created as a African-American school built by the DuPonts. And I know the one my father went to downstate is now a community center, and it has some protection, has some significance to the community, and in fact to my family. My aunt, before she came up here to the Wilmington School District, was probably one of the last teachers there. And so I'm sure that old school has the same significance as the one that I'm most familiar with. And, you know, we just bypass the community not being in favor of this like that is of no moment. Well, that's just too bad. And the project had one opportunity that it was given, and whatever the term is, they didn't make it through the process, had to start all over again, and we're going to go through the same thing again. But the impact and the concerns, as I look through the record, were the same the first time around as they are now. And the fact that the community center has said, and legend has it, that part of the area and the church that was there was part of the Underground Railroad, that's of no significance. But at the end of the day, what's left of what was part of an African-American historical community, including the cemetery at the church, nobody cares about. As long as the developer can make money, to hell with them, and let the bodies wash down the road. So I'm not going to support it. I disagree with the department. I disagree with anybody who believes that this is appropriate and fair, and here again, you started. I really don't know how you've done this for 30 years, but I tell you what, even if the Lord let me live to try that, I ain't doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Strait. I'd like to make a few comments. Actually, I cared very much.
You forgot John.
John Cartier.
You forgot Councilman Cartier.
I'm going to speak first, and then I'll call on Councilman Cartier. So I did a lot of research this weekend. I got a lot of emails and followed up on the emails that I received and all of the research that they had sent me. It all checked out. I checked it out with, with Abdullah Muhammad, who is with the Del State. And he has written a book on the history of Delaware and African Americans. And we spoke extensively about the history of the color school. I also spoke with Harmon Carey, who was involved with it at that time. And then I spoke with Karen Peterson with the planning board and what they did. And all of the things that you're saying, Penrose, are true, as well as Jay, and a whole lot more. And the people that I spoke to from that community added quite a bit. They were very invested in this community and extremely opposed. But what I'm going to focus on is some of the things that Karen had shared with me about that. And I did take a drive out there. And, you know, one of it was the traffic is a problem there. Also, the drainage coming from the top of the hill. And in fact, a gentleman that lived at the bottom, he has since died 2 years ago, but his lawn would turn into a lake. Robin Brown's house is there and experiences the runoff that is coming out of there. There's a whole host of issues with this. And in addition to, it doesn't fit in with the character of the community. Possibly 12 homes would have, but I don't agree that the character of the community is well served with the townhomes going in there. So I'm going to be voting no on this one. And I will be taking more comments, beginning with Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't want to ascribe any motives to the applicant about why the project is not falling into the moderately priced dwelling unit program. But I would suggest that after this, working with Councilman Hollins, I would be willing to amend the MPDU ordinance so there is no floor, so that any rezoning involving ST must include moderately priced dwelling units. There's a goalpost in place in the law. The applicant chose to come under the goalpost. So that's something that could be addressed, in the future. Secondly, for folks that are concerned with the historicity of the Christiana Community Center, we have a very good program in Newcastle County, historical zoning. The principals or the nonprofit that manages the building could nominate that building into our historic zoning program, going into the historic review board, which then comes to council for approval. So I would encourage you, for protecting that sacred resource that's important to the African American community, they could go through that process, and I'm sure council would support them.
Thank you. Are there any other members of council that wish to speak? Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam President. I was just reminded after Councilman Street's comments, because there is another colored school. This one is located in Hocassin. Right now, there's a proposal for the county to preserve the one in Hocassin. There is no plan to ever develop the one in Hocassin. It will become a part of county parkland. So it turns out to be location, location, location. It's not just a thing for realtors, but for oftentimes governments. When we could spend millions of dollars to make absolutely certain there would be no homes built on the Three Little Bakers parcel
in Pike Creek. At the same time, we can argue to allow waste management to increase a dump on Route 13 to ungodly proportions. And the strategy there would be to buy them out. So there's a difference between preservation and buying out. And it seems to me that the pendulum just swings depending on who it is and where it is. But when Councilman Street mentioned the colored school, and I'm thinking, wow, this is quite different. It's quite telling that this colored school is completely being ignored of its significance, but the one in Holkeston is going to be preserved. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. If Pam Scott could bring the one slide back up. If I'm not correct, correct, I thought that there was a one part of that that said most of the drainage issues are being addressed or can be addressed. Is that what I saw? Most?
We are, Councilman Bell, we are meeting the current stormwater management requirements. So yes, we will be addressing stormwater runoff from this property very definitely.
But one of the points on there, the bullet point said most of the drainage issues are being addressed.
No, we have to address all of them.
That's not what it said.
Okay. I think it might be more toward the beginning is where the slide, maybe the third slide or fourth.
All right.
It says most recent stormwater management regulations. Yes.
So what does that mean, most recent? I mean, is that complying with all of them?
Yes, it's complying with the current regs in effect rather than what was in effect previously, okay, which were not as robust.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Meaning the new stormwater.
Yes, are there any other questions from members of council or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak that are in the queue?
Yes, there's several. First person to speak is Seta Sorensen. Please, I've just opened your microphone. Please unmute yourself, state your name, and make your comments.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Ms. Sorensen.
Thank you. So what Ms. Scott failed to say, I will just start with that, is that the Christiana Community Center is a Christiana public school with a historic marker right in front of it. So that is something that she did not mention. So going back to Councilman Hollins and Councilman Street, thank you again for your comments. And also Councilwoman Karen Hartley Nagel, thank you for your doing your due diligence and some research for this. So again, my name is Seta Sorensen, and I've been a resident of Bayard Street for the last 13 years. However, I've lived in Delaware for over 40 years. I've sent an email on July 7th to all the council members to vote no to this ordinance 19009 because I continue to see the suburban sprawl that builds around us. I am just tired of it. The current Road A is under construction to connect more traffic to get to the Christiana Fashion Center that was built. That is very disheartening. I also sent you the scanned copy of the petition that the residents signed and submitted on October 30th, 2019, and that was submitted to Nellie Hill, and hopefully you were able to receive a copy of that and were able to review it prior to today's meeting. I know you guys have had a very long day today, so hopefully you were able to see that. You know, the residents have asked the developer and his representatives, Ms. Scott, and other engineers and other people that have joined these meetings to reduce the footprint as much as possible. They've gone from 27 townhomes to 24. And then the recent comments that Councilman Hollins made, I did not even understand that part. I didn't even know that there was a housing trust fund. And I didn't understand anything about an inclusionary zoning. So that's just me as a resident of Newcastle County. I did not know that. So thank you for educating me on that. But the main point that I'd like to make tonight is that we want to see a reduced footprint, and we really don't want to see a footprint at all, because this is the village of Christiana. This is a historic location, and what I would like to see is more of the safety concerns with the increase in traffic on North Old Baltimore Pike addressed. You know, again, ZLDOT did perform apparently a traffic study, and I say apparently because they performed a traffic study, but it was on off-peak time. It wasn't during the regular time. And again, with COVID-19 now, some of this is a little bit of a moot point, but when things start moving again, when the economy really starts moving again, traffic will be an issue again. For me and my family, it's about living in an area that's considered the village of Christiana. We have made friends in this area. We live in this area, and we do not want to see further development with homes that don't fit into the village. The townhomes, and I understand that, you know, the renderings look very pretty, but to be honest, they don't fit into our village community. You know, again, I made the point before to the land use meeting that Artesian Water worked with the community to create a single family home to house the water pump that blends in with the historic area. So I appreciate Councilwoman Nagel to Hartley Nagel coming out and looking at the area. For those councilwomen and councilmen that do not live in our district, you know, I encourage you to come in this area to see some of the pictures that were on Ms. Scott's presentation are there. However, there's a lot more to this area, and we do have a lot of issues with infrastructure. My street, Bayard Street, has had water main breaks a couple of times in the 13 years I've lived here. Adding more homes in the area is not going to help. It's just going to continue with the stormwater management, and it's just going to be, it's not going to be good. So I'm sure my time is almost up. So again, I appreciate your evening time and hours that you are putting into this, and I really hope that you think about it. And as again, Councilman Howland has said, you know, the fact that this is in the village of Christiana versus Hockessin, we really need to look at that. I mean, why isn't the council looking at possibly buying out this builder and making our area a county parkland? I would love to see a county parkland around here in this area. That would be an amazing addition to this such suburban sprawl, with the Christiana Mall down the street, with the fashion center, with Boscov's, and, you know, the other, I guess, shopping in the area. I'm tired of seeing the industry of shopping and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little more passionate than I expected to get, but thank you again. So thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Sorensen. Ms. Finnegan, or is there another member of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, the next member is on the phone with the last three digits 8711. I've just unmuted your microphone. Please go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Okay, thank you. My name is Dennis Matthews, MATTHEWS. I live on 8 North Old Baltimore Pike. I agree with many comments made by the council people, and I thank you for that. And I also agree 100% that this development does not fit the character of the neighborhood. On that note, on her presentation, they're saying they're putting 24 townhouses on 12.97 acres. Well, that sounds all well and dandy, but if you look at the map, they're actually putting it on 4 acres. And that's a pretty heavy density. And on 4 acres of that area, you might get 8 houses, if you're lucky. And the other thing I like to make a note is it's surrounded by historic everything, the community center, the graveyard, historical churches, and it's part of the historical area, the Christiana proper village. and I thank you for letting me speak. And most of those places are on the National Register. And thank you very much, and I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I hope you leave it as MC21. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Finnegan, is there another member of the public in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, General Manager Rich Hall would like to speak. Mr. Hall, I just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, Richard Hall, General Manager, Department of Land Use, will be very brief. So I don't have a lot to say about the specifics of this project. Anthony Sikalski of my staff can do that in a lot of detail if you so desire. I will simply say that it is a previous rezoning that expired, and it's coming back to you get reinforce the previous rezoning. However, my main point is that I heard a lot of issues mentioned about the department and the recommendations of this project. And again, all we're simply doing is reaffirming what was approved before. We think it fits generally. We understand the neighbors' comments, but we generally think it fits. But the broader point I want to make is that when it comes to affordable housing, community character, and just growth in general, I think often the Department of Land Use is an easy target for when things don't go the way some people want. And I understand that as part of the territory, but I ask you, I plead with you, work with us. Let's work together on some legislation. Let's work together on the 30-year comp plan that we just announced that we need to update over the next 2 years so we can address these issues. Our job is to implement the laws on in front of us today. So that's my main point to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Carrot or Ms. Finnegan, is there any other members of the public that wish to speak?
Yes, yes, there's one more. Judy, I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Judy, unmute. Judy, unmute your microphone.
We can maybe try back. There's one more person.
Okay. Ms. Finnegan, can we move on and then come back to Judy?
Sure. Channel Cole. Channel, I just unmuted your microphone. Please state your name and go ahead and make your comments.
Hello, my name is Chanel Cole. I am a part of the Christiana community. I have been so for the last 30 years. And good evening. And I'd also like to thank you all for your time. I'd like to say that it is, after listening to the developer's comments, I just like to say on behalf of Bayard Street, which I'm a part of, that it's very disheartening that the developer has completely disregarded the historical essence of the Christiana community. My family has been a part of that community for decades upon decades. My grandmother's name is on the plaque that's in front of the Christiana Community Center. She worked her life to contribute to preserving that center because she did attend that school. She also, and in addition to that, our family is a part of the church, and our family is buried in the cemetery. And so just the blatant disregard for the essence of the community, in addition to the traffic, to piggyback off of what Seda Sorensen said, right now, obviously with COVID, there's a lack of traffic or mobility that's going on, but during the peak times, it's horrendous and it's dangerous. And a lot of the community members on Old Bayard Street are seasoned and elders, and just adding to that density would be a nightmare. So I thank you all for your time and good evening.
Thank you very much. And Are we, Judy, are you able to hear us?
I think I can now.
Okay, great. Here she is.
I'm Judith Jennings, and I'm a member of the Christiana Community Center, and we're working hard to restore it. We've gotten some grants to paint and put gutters in to stabilize the building until we can get further funds to restore it. Just to mention that the early alumni of the school did in fact get the community center on the National Register of Historic Places. So it is noted on the National Register. Now, I just wanted to talk briefly about the compatibility with the community, which I understand is a condition for rezoning in accordance with the comprehensive plan. In the presentation, Attorney Scott was very explicit in saying that we are close to an apartment and condos. Well, the Emblem Apartments is about a half a mile away, and their traffic dumps into Eagle Hunt Drive, so it doesn't come down Old Baltimore Pike. The condominiums are a mile away, not in our community, and they dump their traffic into 273. The traffic during mall peak hours is horrendous, and the additional cars coming from or trying to get out of the development will be very bad. I think that was a misrepresentation on behalf of the developer. Those townhomes and condos are not close to the immediate surrounding community. The immediate surrounding community is single family homes on less than an acre, probably a third, which falls into the density requirements of medium density. We're small, modest homes. I live on Old Baltimore Pike, and our home is on less than a third of an acre as well. So this community would not be, this development would not, in my opinion, be in, would not be compatible with our community at all. So I think that's about all I have. I wish that the council would consider the surrounding community. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Ms. Finnegan, is there any other members of the public in the queue?
Yes, one more member of the public. He's joined by phone with the last four digits of 1060. I've just unmuted your microphone. Please go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
My name is Richard Lewis, and thank everyone for listening. It's been a definitely good meeting. However, I'm the president of the trustees at the Old Fort Church, whose cemetery belongs to, which is on Old Baltimore Pike. And we are very concerned, I'm more or less dittoed what everybody's been saying about it, about the cemetery. I'm currently working with the other cemetery that the church was located on School Bell Road. They moved that church from that point to where it is now, on 37 North Old Baltimore Pike. Now, at that point, they left the cemetery there. Now, that cemetery become concerned about abandonment. So I'm in the process of restoring that cemetery. If you ride by that cemetery now, School Bell Road and Route 7, you'll see the big difference in that cemetery. Now, pretty soon, the cemetery where this development is going to be going close to is going to be historic and going to be on the monumental of historical records. And we don't want anything detrimental to hurting our ones that's buried there, like the bones rolling down the street or anything else. So our historic cemetery will become another registered from the archives, because it's old, our church is in the 1800s, and of course, the cemetery is going to be historic very soon. So we want you to take consideration of the cemetery there, and if you need to be restored, it has to be restored. We're going to do that very shortly. It's going to be a time-consuming thing, but we have to wait to see what this developer is going to do, and we cannot have any more traffic on this route. My family has been in this area for a long, long time. There's also a the Neal family lives on that Patterson Lane. They used to live on that Patterson Lane. The old house got burned down, and now the property's vacant. But that wasn't in the consideration of that family. They're still around. They still paying their taxes on that property, but that's right on Patterson Lane, at the end of Patterson Lane, right across from where I think this development's going to be developed. So take all that stuff into consideration, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public in the queue?
There's no more further comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Any further comments by members of council? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll. I'm sorry. Who wishes to speak? Ms. Diller?
Ms.
Diller.
She's muted.
Let me unmute. I'm very familiar with this area. I spent 4 years as the pastor at Christiana Presbyterian Church, and this is a gem of an area that has been, unfortunately, you know, just as when I was there about 10 years ago, just as there was some interest in the community and there was some movement toward looking at, say, historic overlay. Unfortunately, there just wasn't any, you know, there just wasn't the money and there wasn't the support to be able to do that here. I can tell you that we were thrilled when we got a letter from Newcastle County saying that they had someone who was a historic planner that might be able to help us and help the community really look at what we wanted there. I sent back the letter. It was a, you know, it was a form. I sent it back right away. And at that point, you know, the market had tanked and there was no hope. The person who was the planner at that point had left and there was no hope of getting anyone back, you know, in that position for a number of years. So this community, because it's unincorporated, has been really at a disadvantage to try and move forward with some of the historic work that you've heard testimony about this, you know, this evening. And, you know, it's really a shame. I mean, there's just such history there in this little compact area. And, you know, it's not the developer's fault for wanting to put a development there, but there are just things in that area. You know, if there's anything I could say, you know, I've been on this council long enough. I know that you can't stop a development, but the reality is the traffic in that area is terrible. If we had an event at Christiana Presbyterian and we had a nice parking lot, you can make a right turn to get out there on a Sunday, you know, you could not get out of that parking lot, even making a right turn to go down, you know, to get to 273 to get out of that, you know, out of the community area. I don't know how these people are going to make either a right or a left turn if there's any kind of traffic on that road coming out of that development. I'm just frustrated with this whole thing because I truly believe that, you know, there needs to be some concern for these little communities that haven't always had the professionals to work on these things. And it's just frustrating to me to see this. And, you know, I just feel like there's just nobody who picks these communities up and helps them get where they need to be. I don't know how I'm going to vote on this, but this is a really missed opportunity for this community, if there's not some attention paid to all of the historical importance that's there.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier?
Thank you. You know, I've been very concerned the mention of the cemeteries in the vicinity. I'd like to have the applicant's attorney comment about this development and its potential impact on local cemeteries. And I need to have better clarity about that issue.
Ms. Scott?
Thank you. I think if we could pull up the PowerPoint again and show slide 8. There is a photograph of the cemetery in that PowerPoint presentation. Yes, it's the top right hand corner of the picture. That's a view of the cemetery, which is very close to Old Baltimore Pike. Our site is immediately to the right, where you see the stand of trees and other landscaping. And there's going to be a fairly significant buffer between our development and the cemetery in terms of the proposed development. So our development is not going to have any negative impact on the cemetery. We propose to leave that large buffer in place and don't plan to develop that area.
Could you show the overhead view of the project and then
show
where the cemetery is?
Yes, I think that's back on maybe slide number 4, perhaps. Yes, slide 4.
Shows the buffer. And some of this space behind the lots would also be wooded.
I thought I was the only one that had problems with technology. There we go. So it'd be slide, yes, this slide. So this slide shows the layout of the proposed development overlaid on an aerial. You can see the kind of yellow dashed line to the right of us. That the cemetery is immediately on the other side of that yellow dashed line. And as you can see, we're going to maintain that buffered area of trees between our lot and the cemetery, and we will also be adding landscaping along the rear of the lots as well. So there's a fairly significant area of buffer between us and the cemetery parcel.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, Ms. Kilpatrick.
So
I couldn't see everybody else's hands, but now I do. Okay.
I'm sorry. All right. So just to get this straight, so this we approved and rezoned at one point. For 5 years, they didn't put a shovel in the ground and the plan expired. A month or so ago, this was brought to council and we approved the plan. Is that correct? And now this.
You approved two subdivision variances so that the plan could go forward.
Okay, so we approved, so basically we said yes to the plan. Now we come to the rezoning. It just seems to me that there is something very convoluted in this process, in that they have to come to us for permission twice, not the fact that it expired, but within this application, we approved the plan with the variances, and now we get a second shot at them. Is that not like double jeopardy? How do we approve the plan and then say no to the rezoning when we know that in order for the plan to be built, we were going to have to go through the rezoning?
Ms. Kilpatrick, is that a rhetorical question, or are you asking us to ask somebody?
Well,
do you want to know who's answering? Is that?
I guess the Department of Land Use maybe should answer this, or Pam can answer it. I mean, it just seems a little strange that we should be doing this same plan twice because we've already approved the plan.
Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Madam President. It's my understanding that what we did approve was an appeal, which is in itself somewhat unusual. Rarely does County Council get an opportunity to hear an appeal to override the position of the Board of Adjustment. So that's what happened a couple of weeks ago. It was an appeal process.
This was not Board of Adjustment. This was an appeal from the Planning Board, and the Planning Board. And the Planning Board actually did not take a vote because it was a tie vote, so they had no really final decision. Because it was a tie, it was considered not moved forward.
Thank you, Ms. Scott.
But the reason why we heard it was simply because it was an appeal, because the Planning Board did not make the recommendation. So that doesn't happen very often. So it wasn't your usual situation there. The whole idea was we would get to appeal the process. But that being said, I think it's before council again because it's following the path of the code. So it doesn't mean that those council members who voted for the appeal to be approved, they have a right now to vote yes, or they still maintain the right to vote no. I voted against the appeal myself. It doesn't mean that I perhaps would not change my mind to vote for it, the rezoning tonight. I mean, circumstances change, but I don't think that the fact that they're following the process, that it certainly somehow take away the right of a council member from one part of the process to the other. Otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary to have this discussion again.
Right, but Ms. Durham next. She's had her hand up for a while.
Thank you so much. I was going to make another point, but to Janet's point, I will agree with you unbelievably that I think the process is screwed up. I've long thought that it makes absolutely no sense for a project like this to come first for its variances and second for its rezoning. So if Rich is still listening, maybe that's something we can talk about in trying to change moving forward, because it's not logical to me at all. But as Councilman Hollins said, they're totally independent votes. So at least the way the current process is written. So however we voted before is really irrelevant tonight. And the point I was originally raising my hand on, thank you, President Hartley-Nagel, was to, in response, I guess, to what Lisa Diller said, and also partly to what Rich Hall said, and that's just that, yes, the developer does have a by right to build what the given zoning is, but the rezoning is not guaranteed by any means. So it is unfortunate what's happened in this area, and I, with my historic preservation background, I feel very deeply for those members of the public who have commented on the historic nature of the area. But unfortunately, because it wasn't in H zoning, it didn't have those protections of H zoning. And hopefully everyone is learning the hard way that the National Register status is strictly symbolic.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, just to your earlier point, Lisa, I think A rezoning is not guaranteed. The developer can build what it's zoned as, and we don't have to promise rezonings. And that's something for if, you know, Rich is asking for comments, the land use department doesn't have to give positive recommendations on a rezoning either, you know, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100. So yeah, let's talk about it, Rich, because I just don't think that's right.
Thank you. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Let Councilman Tackett go.
Okay, Councilman Tackett?
I will imagine that Councilwoman Kilpatrick was going to say probably what I'm going to say really fast, and it's late, and it's not a conversation more so for tonight because it's not about this plan. But that discussion actually resonates out of council, and we've already had a conversation about that with Mike Migliori. And because this happens so rarely, we weren't actually sure that it was really worth trying to dive into the code to change, because it would be a major change, and we really don't see these on a regular basis. But anyhow, it's worth the conversation, but not one for tonight.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other members of council who wish to comment? Mr. Shelvin.
Yes, I was just wondering if the attorney can, people are talking about the traffic. Was there a traffic study done that says it's okay, I guess? I'm wondering now, number one, and is there any plans for road work there? I know they're, the way I understand, are taking away traffic away from the malls is what that bypass does. Am I correct? Am I wrong?
I'm happy to respond, Councilman Sheldon. This project generates less than 50 peak period trips. Therefore, we were not required by the code to do a traffic study because the amount of traffic generated is so low.
Okay, well, everybody's saying how bad traffic is, even council people.
For the record, that was Ms. Scott, and now Mr. Sheldon, and now Ms. Scott again.
Well, just to respond to that, that's why one of the meetings that we arranged with the community was to have DLDOT at the meeting with us to talk about what is happening in the area in terms of traffic. One of the things that DLDOT has done is recently opened Eagle Run Road from 273 to basically Road A leading into Christiana Mall, and is putting up signage in the area to try and direct traffic to take that route rather than to take Old Baltimore Pike to get basically from 273 to the mall. DLDOT is also doing some additional projects, as I'm sure you've seen if you've out there, along Route 1 in terms of providing some expansions along Route 1 from 273 to Route 40. Unfortunately, when we met with DLDOT in the community, what was stated, which I think is kind of the obvious, but there really isn't any way to do any further road improvements on Old Baltimore Pike without significantly impacting a lot of the properties along the road that are very close to the road, not only the cemetery, but the church that's just down the road and across the way. It would totally change the character of this area if DLDOT were to make any significant changes in the road to attempt to accommodate more traffic. And I think generally speaking, they are really trying to have the public educated about avoiding this area by taking Eagle Run Road, which is now open from 273 into the mall.
Ms. Durham?
I could, thank you so much. I just wanted to respond really quickly to Councilman Sheldon's larger question, and just Google induced traffic. I mean, you can build wider roads, bigger roads, trying to quote unquote take traffic away from the more local rural side roads, but it's not in reality what actually happens. Every time a parcel is developed, whether commercial or residential, you're putting traffic on all those roads. So there's really no such thing as taking traffic away, because the traffic expands to meet the vacuum that is in theory being created. So just when you get a chance, Google induced traffic, and that's what's going on.
Thank you. Ms. Finnegan, you had said that there was other people who wanted to comment. I'm willing to open up the floor for the public again. If there's only one or two more.
There's several people wanting to comment. Several of them are from the Land Use Department, and CAO Phillips also as well.
Can they condense it?
Looks like.
Do they all need to talk? Okay.
And there's three members of the public, so please let me know. Do you want to proceed with public comment or?
Gazami Street wants to speak.
Let's go with land use first.
Okay. Mr. Hall, I just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. A great discussion, whole bunch of issues. I know it's late. I'm going to move quickly. So again, for the record, Rich Hall, General Manager, Land Use. At one point, there's a question about sort of this two-step process. I agree it's unusual, as the council members have stated. The previous issue was having to do with a subdivision scale variance, not a site level variance that came through the planning board. It was deadlocked, as someone mentioned, and council granted it. That was the length of the cul-de-sac. And so what's before you tonight, which is a related but different issue related to the same project, is essentially a redo on the rezoning. If you care to, Anthony Sikalski can certainly give you more details on that, but I'm trying to give you, I guess I could say, the 20,000 foot view. Thank you.
Yes, and Miss, are you saying Miss Phillips is next?
No, she actually withdrew her comment. Anthony Sikalski,
I'm opening up to the public, but I'm going to ask that the comments are concise and brief as possible. It's been a long night for everybody. So just in consideration of time. Okay, Ms. Finnegan, the next public comment.
I wasn't sure if Anthony wanted to make a comment on this.
Hi, good evening, Anthony Sikalski, and I'll be very brief. The question concerning why the applications are for the subdivision variance and the rezoning weren't processed simultaneously, I guess as Councilman Packard had indicated it was a choice made at that time with council. However, through the planning board, both of those applications went through simultaneously, and a recommendation was forwarded on both of those applications. I think it was just a preference at that time by council, in consultation with the council, and the planning board's attorney. But anything further, please let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Finnegan, the next member of the public.
Sure. I have a person on the phone with the last four digits of 6796. I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Greetings. This is Teresa Warren calling. I represent Christiana Community Center, DuPont Built School, September 9th, 1920. It's on the National Register. We're a 501c3 profit school. We would like to request that you vote against the rezoning of NC21 to the ST status. The Eagle Run development will have a negative effect against the community center and the AME cemetery, both historic sites. Ms. Scott and her associates did meet with the members of the community. They informed us that we would have denied access to Patterson Lane after 100 years of having access to that lane, that their development would also block the second house that had belonged to Esther Neal and William Neal. These were the original family that gave up their land in 1920 to build a community center. This development is against our community with traffic, with drainage. It is not conducive to our community at all. We truly hope that the Newcastle County members consider the fact that this is an African American historic community that will be destroyed by this development. Thank you. I hope you vote in our favor, in the favor of history, in the favor of African American history and the state of Delaware. Thank you. Have a good evening. Goodbye.
Thank you, madam. And Ms. Finnegan is another member of the public in the queue.
No, but Pam Scott has her hand up.
Yeah. Ms. Scott?
I just wanted to have the opportunity for a rebuttal. I didn't know if this was the time or not, but I just wanted to do that. So should
Ms. Scott, it looks like there's another member of council. Do you want to wait till afterwards, or would you?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Mr. Street?
Yes. And I'm not going to ask you to go back to it, but the picture, the aerial, that showed where the houses are going to be built, the small buffer between where the houses will be built and the cemetery. Well, they're all going to be townhouses. So now you've created all this impervious land next to the cemetery. At the bottom of Baltimore Pike, the cemetery goes downhill. It's only inevitable you're going to wash it out. And the statement, I think, from Council for the Developer is that you can't change the traffic pattern because of the community, which to me directly says we shouldn't support this rezoning. And the historical significance here cannot and should not be forgotten. And I'm going to remind everybody, if we just looked at traffic alone, everybody thought the initial Barley Mill plan was a slam dunk. It was approved by council. It was appealed. And the statement that one council member made that you couldn't consider traffic, the court found that, oh, yes, you can consider traffic and reversed it. You can't change the traffic. You're going to create an additional drainage problem where there's already a drainage problem. I think that speaks for itself.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Any other members of council? Ms. Scott. Unmute.
Thank you.
There you go.
Just to respond to Councilman Street, we are required by the stormwater regulations to reduce runoff from our property, so we are certainly not going to be flooding out the cemetery. We will actually be improving the situation because of the stormwater controls that we will have to put in place on the property. To respond to Ms. Warren, we are not eliminating access to Patterson Lane. The three properties that currently have access to Patterson Lane will continue to have access to Patterson Lane. The only change that's occurring is that Patterson Lane will tie into Eagle Hunt Lane to have access onto Old Baltimore Pike. And that is a requirement of DLDOT for safety reasons, to provide a safe and secure access to and from Old Baltimore Pike. As I said before, the traffic being generated by this project is extremely small, less than 50 peak period trips. That really isn't going to have any significant impact on the traffic that's already on Old Baltimore Pike. This is clearly infill development. It's not suburban sprawl. This is the type of development that both the Land Use Department and the Comprehensive Plan propose be permitted and promoted throughout Newcastle County. In terms of the community center, we tried very hard to work with the community center to see how we could work with them to improve the center, provide whatever assistance they might need. And frankly, they didn't want to have that conversation with us, but we were more than willing to do that. We realized that they are an important part of the community. We have no intention of impacting them in a negative way at all. We would hope that the people that would live in our community would become active members of the center. So we, again, we're trying to work with them, not against them. Again, I think that we have shown that this meets the requirements of the code in terms of the standards for rezoning, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. I see no further comment, no further hands up from members of council. So therefore, I'm moving on, and I'm also closing the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-009, and remember, this is a poll vote.
Mr. Bell?
Yes, I'm voting no based upon the input and comments and concerns of the community.
Mr. Carter?
Well, I switched my vote three times, but I'm voting no. I cannot, by any capacity, see how this meets the requirements. I can't, by any discretionary interpretation, find a way to say this is consistent with the community character or that it's consistent with our comprehensive plan. And, you know, I did go through today after speaking to a councilman this morning saying, well, I think they met the code, reviewed some of the comments, particularly from Mr. Snowden, that we read in that appeal again, and, you know, some of the things on traffic, some of the other stuff. I just can't fathom how we can possibly find this consistent.
Mr. Cartier?
I'm voting yes based on conditional approval of Department of Land Use.
Ms. Diller?
I'm voting no because of the concerns of the community.
Ms. Durham?
I'm voting no because I think the rezoning is not consistent with the surrounding community and based on community feedback.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
I am voting no based on the input from the community, the negative recommendation from half of the planning board, and I do not believe it fits with the character of the historic community.
Mr. Hollins?
I'm voting no. The community's concerns were very compelling and very valid, and I'm going to support the community.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I'm voting yes based on the standards of rezoning.
Mr. Shodden?
I am voting with the recommendation of the Department of Land Use.
Mr. Smiley? George, you're muted.
I'm voting yes with the recommendation of the Department of Land Use.
Mr. Street?
I'm voting no. Because it doesn't fit with the character of the community, because I'm concerned about taking away the historical significance, I'm concerned about traffic, and I'm concerned about flooding.
Mr. Tackett?
I'm joining the Department of Land Use in the positive recommendation and voting yes.
Mr. Woods?
I'm voting no on the positive recommendations of the community.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 5 yes, 8 no.
019009 is defeated. Moving forward to substitute number 1 to 019116, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that substitute number 1 to 19-116 be read by title and placed before council.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 19116 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 26, Human Resources, Article 4, Pensions, relating to the Employees Retirement System, the County Employees Pension Plan, and the County 2011 Pension Plan to provide for service retirement annuity after 25 years of credited service for Emergency Medical Services Division employees and Emergency Communications Division employees, and providing for increased employee contributions from Emergency Medical Services Division employees and Emergency Communications Division employees.
Mr. Bell?
Madam President, I move that substitute number 1 to 19-116 be tabled.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Substitute.
Karen, there is a hand up, by the way.
Where is the hand? One against. Okay, substitute number 1 to 019116 is tabled.
Karen, there's public comment. I don't know if you want to take it.
No.
I always take up public comment. It's one more. Tara?
Sure. Saul Please go ahead and unmute your microphone and state your name, make your comments.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll be brief, as this was discussed. I believe it was earlier today in finance. It seemed like so long ago. I respect all the comments that were made and the concern about the fiscal responsibility. The only thing that I ask is that moving forward with it, that possibly we might be able to create some kind of task force between the administration and council and members of the other unions that, you know, have some concerns about it. That way we do something that's, you know, fiscally responsible and works for everybody.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. And Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. That's exactly why we are tabling it, to address the fiscal responsibility and the actuary, and to see if we can come up with some alternate plans to move this forward in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, Ms. Finnegan, is there any other comments?
There's no further public comment.
Okay, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam, wait a minute, we tabled that. It's getting late. 019120, Mr. Carter.
Yes, Madam President, I move that 19120 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Ordinance 19120 to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 40, Unified Development Code, Article 31, Procedures and Administration, Section 40.31.120, text amendments regarding certain proposed text amendments.
Mr. Carter?
Yes, we discussed this in detail in our committee meeting. What Ordinance 19120 does is makes it discretionary for a council member to submit legislation to the Department of Land Use before review and comment before he or she introduces it. I think it removes a constraint from council and makes it at the discretion of the council member, makes it consistent with the way we treat all other legislation. It does honor the sharp separation of powers that was a principle of the way Newcastle County government was set up. I think it does increase the transparency, which is usually a good thing. And keep in mind that any councilman can still work and should still work with land use when those relationships are good. But regardless, this still retains the 5 formal public opportunities for direct Department of Land Use policy input. So we've talked about it a lot. If there are other comments, fine. If not, then I think we can probably vote.
Thank you. Mr. Carter, I'd like to co-sponsor.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Okay, does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam President. So, here, I'll just offer a comment as a co-chair of land use that this process has been in place and was set by council a long time ago. The process has worked well for many, many years. I don't think that now, given the fact that perhaps something has not went the way somebody has wanted it to go, that now we need to go ahead and start looking to change the code on it. Perhaps, you know, if council wants to unsaddle this horse, that's up to them. They certainly can, you know, have that option, but there has been a process in place, and that process has been one that has protected council, you know, from making decisions that were led by somebody that may not have the best interests. And although I know this legislation is not guided in that direction and it's coming out of a true sincerity, I still have a lot of reservations about changing that process now at this point.
Thank you. Is there any other member of council that would wishes to comment? I'm not going to comment. I think my co-sponsoring says it, and it's getting late. Mr. Cartier.
I believe that council inadvertently was led to believe certain things and gave away its legislative priority, as it has done in very other areas that I look forward to correcting, helping to correct in the future.
Thank you. Any other members of council wish to comment? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public that wish to speak that are in the queue?
Yes, General Manager Rich Hall. Mr. Hall, I've unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and state your name and make your comments.
Thank you. Rich Hall, General Manager of Land Use. I'll be very brief. Sorry, it's late, and this is the time of the day when I start to wake up. Sorry, but just three points here. One is there's absolutely no infringement in the whole arena of executive branch versus legislative branch issue with this ordinance. We oppose this ordinance. Still don't understand, after all the conversation at the Land Use Committee, what problem this ordinance seeks to fix. This is a best practice that has served the county government very well for many, many, many years. Again, I'll keep it short, but I understand the will of council is the will of council, as I have heard before. So I just want to share it with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public in the queue?
There's no further public comment.
Thank you. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019120.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
No.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 10 yes, 3 no.
019120 is passed. Moving on to item J, R20155, Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President, I move that item J, R20, what's the number?
155.
155 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 20155, commending George E. Evans, Esquire, for 37 years of distinguished service to the Christina School District.
Mr. Street?
Yes, Madam President. Please present this resolution for council consideration. I think Christina board meeting is already over, but I brought forward this resolution. Senator Lockman brought forward a tribute from the Senate, and Representative Dorsey brought forward a tribute from the House. And I think when somebody puts in 37 years of volunteer service, and in my opinion, exemplary volunteer service, then assuredly that person should be recognized. So I ask for your consideration accordingly.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, Mr. Street, I'm asking to be a co-sponsor.
Absolutely.
And then Mr. Bell.
Co-sponsor also.
Absolutely.
Anyone else? I see yes. Some head shaking yes.
I would also, please.
That's Mr. Woods. Mr. Carter, you're shaking your head yes. Is that a request to be co-sponsor?
Oh, it doesn't matter. No.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think you should put all of us on it. Unless
that's
someone
fine.
Doesn't want to.
Yeah, first all, that's fine.
All in favor of everyone being on it?
Yeah.
Anyone opposed?
He doesn't know me, I don't know him, so I don't care.
Okay.
But I'm not putting it on my campaign literature.
I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Ms. Finnegan, is there anybody in the queue that wishes to speak?
There's one member of the public with his hand up, Mr. Miller, but I'm not sure if he wants to speak on this or under public comment.
God bless him.
No, I went too early. I said public comment.
Probably Mr. Miller wants to speak in public comment. I don't think he wants to speak to this one.
That's what he just said.
Yeah, okay. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R20155.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnian?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. R20155 is passed. Next, public comment. Does anyone from the public wish to address council? Ms. Finnegan, are there members of the public that are in the queue? And I guess we're going to begin with Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Okay, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm here to voice my concerns about the drug prison that illegally occupies a building at 4185 Kirkwood St. George's Road in our community. Because the state of Delaware has sanctioned it to operate, it has been allowed to blatantly, in violation of zoning ordinances, to continue to operate today. The Muslim cemetery on Port Penn Road was forced to cease operations for the same violations as 4185 Kirkwood St. George's Road. There is a property at 680 Port Penn Road that has incurred land use violations for an improper business operation. Since February, they have already started to incur fines by the county land use. What type of business could this be to already be incurring fines when a prison in a residential community is subject to no fines by Newcastle County? It must be a business that does not sway favor from the state. I would like to speak about taxes again, as I hear politicians in New Jersey and Pennsylvania campaigning on decreasing property taxes due to COVID-19. I was wondering if anything similar has been discussed here. Realistically, since schools were shuttered for a quarter of the school year, perhaps school taxes should be decreased by 25%. Who among us pays for services not provided? If you do, send me your mailing address. I see a new business opportunity. I'm concerned about Newcastle County property reassessment that is being probably planned or basically made to happen. Group homes, drug rehabs, and yes, community prisons should receive a higher tax rate than a single family residence in the same community for the mere fact that they are allowed to operate as a for-profit business and are using more county services. In 17 months of operation, 4185 Kirkwood St. George's Road has been visited by police, fire, and paramedic services 13 times. Every corporation should pay their counties for their county services and pay more for them just as they do utilities. This may be tough because of the Fair Housing Act, but it's not impossible. If New Jersey can do it, so can we. For other commercial operations throughout the county, they pay higher property taxes because they're zoned properly. Which brings me to my last concern. In February, I saw County Executive Meyer on Newcastle County television talk about the census. He said one of his first acts as county executive was to sign an executive order to declare Newcastle County a sanctuary county. Did the administration let council know before the sanctuary order was signed? When I started this journey, I was told about county council was subservient to the state. This confuses me. Are we only subservient to what the county executive and the state deems desirable? Equal application of the laws and ordinances seems to be and continues to be the root of all problems you speak of each month. Will land use codes and ordinances matter in the future? They don't now. If you sway favor with the state or the executive, you can expect a positive outcome. If you don't, you're on your own. Good luck. And then I'd like one final thing is, last night we had an incident, and I'd like a further update on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Bell.
Yes, on the incident last evening that Mr. Miller is referring to, I was notified approximately 8 p.m. That fire apparatus, paramedics, and police were at the refuge property at 4185 St. George's Kirkwood Road. I checked with Chief Miller. He verified that both the fire alarm and burglar alarm was going off. They also had a power outage in the area around the same time. Upon arrival of the apparatus, the officer in charge from Delaware City declared the situation under control. And to the best of the fire board's knowledge, there was no actual fire, but the alarms had gone off and emergency services were still dispatched and sent. In addition to that, concerns were raised about no generator or backup generator for the facility there. I have contacted land use today about that question. I have not gotten an answer back, but in all honesty, a residential institutional type facility, 24-hour facility, okay, one would think that there is a requirement for auxiliary power, and there is not, to the best of our knowledge, there. I also contacted Colonel Bond at home last evening, and in the meantime, the power come back on. However, I still had conversation with the colonel and mentioned about the situation that occurred, and he was going to notify operations to try to have patrol frequent the area more over the nighttime hours. As we all know, Chairman, one of our chairpersons of land use, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, has asked, and we're in agreement with this, asked land use to make a formal presentation on this particular property, hopefully at one of our upcoming land use committee meetings. With that, that's what I have up to this point.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Are there any other comments from any members of council? No? Ms. Finnegan, are there any members of the public still in the queue wishing to speak?
Yes, I have Saul Polish. Mr. Polish, I've just unmuted your microphone. Go ahead and speak.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, Madam President and distinguished members of County Council. I know it's been an extremely long day, and my second time addressing Council. And
oh, shoot.
Did we lose him, Ms. Finnegan?
Sorry.
He's back.
Mr. Polish, please unmute again.
That was my fault.
And Saul, you're still muted.
Sorry. All right. So good evening, Saul Polish, president of Local 3911. I just wanted to make a comment on the COVID-19 and the hazard duty pay. I wasn't expecting to hear anything earlier today, but it's good to see that it's still in the works. Paramedics and communications personnel are on the front line of the coronavirus pandemic, providing direct services to the most at risk and health compromised individuals. We do not have the capability to work from home and socially distance from one another or the public. We knowingly put ourselves in harm's way to carry out our mission. While we are aware of and accept the daily risks we are take when we go to work, those risks have increased greatly and they no longer affect us alone. The coronavirus pandemic is hazardous not only to us, but to our families and friends close to us. Every day we answer thousands of calls for help and have had to change our strategies to mitigate this increased risk. We must don multiple layers of personal protective equipment to treat the COVID positive patient who called 911 because they have taken a turn for the worse and now can't breathe. We sit in confined spaces with these patients, sometimes inches away, to provide life-saving care. We have providers changing their clothes and showering in between calls for help to ensure that we do not contaminate ourselves, our coworkers, or the next patient we treat. We spray our uniforms and our equipment down with chemical cleaners multiple times a day to kill any virus that may be lingering. We are at a markedly higher risk of being exposed to and contracting COVID-19. There have been multiple employees who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 after treating positive patients, now out of work for weeks and isolated from their families. There have also been several instances where COVID-positive patients have withheld information from us with the fear that they would not receive help if they disclose their diagnosis. This increases our risk even more, leaving us unprepared. Leaving us unprepared and possibly unprotected. We have people who are afraid to come to work, afraid to go home after work, afraid of infecting their families and their loved ones. We urge you to reconsider your decision to award hazard pay to the paramedics up to and including lieutenants, operations support specialists, telecommunicators up to and including assistant platoon leaders, public safety operators, and emergency communications support staff persons of the training coordinator, quality assurance coordinator, and information and technology coordinator employed by Newcastle County. We are passionate and dedicated and will continue to provide the highest level of service possible to the citizens of Newcastle County during this time, but this is beyond the risk that we knowingly signed up for. Respectfully, on the behalf of the first responders of Ask Me Local 3911 of Newcastle County, President Saul Polish. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Finnegan, are there any other members of the public in the queue?
There's no further public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mr. Smiley, not yet. Is there a motion to adjourn?
You don't get to do that.
All in favor? Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.